Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Welcome to The Entrepreneurial You podcast. Over the next few weeks, I will look back at the episodes from season 2 of the Entrepreneurial You TV edition aired on CBX, of course, Channel 143 on Flow and Channel 28 on Digicel, as well as it was streamed on JamstockX.com. Now, these episodes, they explore the journeys of successful Jamaican entrepreneurs, and they share lots of insights to help you on your entrepreneurial journey. I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. But before we dive in, let's hear from our podcast sponsor, the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Customers are the driving force behind a business's success. Having the foresight to create a product that is irresistible to your customers means you have found the secret ingredient. Today, we introduce you to a buzzing startup, pull back the sheet from a dream, and keep you up to date with what's trending. I am Henneka Watkus Porter, and this is The Entrepreneur You.
I'm Felisa Casanova, the CEO of Molly's Frozen Delights. The vision of doing popsicle from July 13, 2017, and we just finally give birth to it. It is going up. Awesome, it's going good. I have Ota Iti, guava, mango, and pineapple. And all these are natural foods, foods from my property, and pineapple is the one that I get outside. The food itself, no sugar, natural sugar cane, sea moss, lemon juice, and lots of love from Molly. It's a guilt-free snack for those who are diabetic. When you taste Molly's Frozen Delight, you'll taste the real fruit in it. My aim is to continue being a distributor, you know, for schools, hotels, to get bigger, wider, global.
Taking that leap to start your own business is thrilling. Nothing compares to making that first step. And for that, here's a quick tip. Want to experience abundance in your life? Live in gratitude for what you already have. I can't explain it, but trust me. Somehow, being grateful opens up your heart and opens up everything for you to have more. And if you want to learn more about living in gratitude, then of course, grab a copy of my latest publication, Healing with Gratitude, a 31-day devotional for inner strength, and Healing with Gratitude, a 31-day journal for inner strength. Of course, it's available on Amazon. chocolate. This is a word that evokes indescribable ecstasy. Is there a man, a woman, or a child who has not desired it, who has not devoured it, and who the next moment has not dreamt of devouring it again? That quote from Elaine Gonzalez, a chocolatier. Welcome back to the Entrepreneur Review. Our entrepreneur today is Michelle Smith, and I know you love chocolate. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you for having me, Hannah. Thank you very much.
I do love chocolate. Of course, I absolutely love chocolate. Like,
I do love chocolate.
I love chocolate, and I'm not going to ask why isn't there any chocolate here. So let's move right along. So, tell me one thing that most persons perhaps don't know about you.
Most persons don't know that I love music. I actually do sing in the shower, but I love music of all genres. Music happens to touch areas in my life that I've not forgotten, but I've kind of blocked away. So my late dad, he insisted that we listen to Sunday Serenade every Sunday. And he just loved music himself, and I take that from him. And in the genres that he didn't really love, I had a brother who loved rock and heavy rock and things from the 60s and the 70s. So I have a love of it. I love the lyrics. I listen to lyrics of music. That's what I do. And I often think that life could be so simple if people lived by the lyrics that are in songs.
Wow, life could be so simple. So is there any particular moment in time that music has brought you through that kind of healing for you?
So it's healing for me in many, many aspects. Because I kind of shut out the world when I'm listening to music. So I try to have it blasting in my car, blasting in my office, blasting everywhere I can, you know, because it gives me, it's my escape. You know, some people have a different way of escaping. That's my escape. I can listen to it without anything else. I don't need to be reading. I don't need to be doing anything. I just can be listening and enjoying. And that's what I use before I go to work every morning. And I listen to my music. I have a lot of playlists.
Let's go. Speaking of escape yourself, as an entrepreneur, what are some of the things that you have to escape from?
So, like our friend Elon Musk said, entrepreneurship is like eating glass. That's a fact. And when I think about my life as an entrepreneur, I find that the last, I've been in business for 18 years. Maybe business, you know, developed from very little to, and I'm still not a medium-sized business, I'm still small. I'm still a small business. But the last couple of years has been very intense. No breaks, no, so that's the escape, because as an entrepreneur who does mostly everything in my company, I haven't been able to have those escapes, mini breaks, mini. I haven't been fortunate to have that. So that's what I needed to escape from. Escape from the stress of work. Because being an entrepreneur, you know, especially I think people have this notion. So they see Chocolate Dreams as a brand that's
huge.
So when they come to the factory, they think they're going to see this huge Willy Wonka factory. Which I'm trying to get it to a stage where it can be perceived as that. I spent a lot of time building something that the brand is out there, but not behind the scenes, it's kind of compact. And because of COVID, we had to shrink. us back. But as an entrepreneur, you're doing so many things. You know, Honeycutt.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So I monitor the accounts. I monitor the sales. I'm the social media person. I am the person who answers the customers. My friends never not WhatsApp me to order. And they'll WhatsApp me the morning of that they need it in 2 hours. So I am always on the go. Always. Ever on the go. But the last couple of months, I have decided that I have to take a break. So I've forced myself to do that. And out of that has come so much. And you said it earlier, you talked about gratitude. So maybe about 3 years ago, I started on a gratitude journey where I would do gratitude every single day. I was grateful whether, you know, and for the little, the smallest things I would be grateful for. And I've noticed that my blessings have increased. I'm not one to talk about my blessings a lot, but my blessings have, in the last 6 months, really doubled, tripled. Just by people being kind, people being nice. What puzzles me about it is it's always people on the outside, not Jamaicans. And that tears me a lot up. It tears me up. Because why should people, ever since I started business, you know, why should people on the outside see my business as so great and my own people are not really there? Do you ask yourself that question all the time?
I know, and trust me, it is something I can totally relate to, and there's something that comes to mind, a scripture comes to mind. A prophet has no honor in his hometown. And as entrepreneurs, I find that the external affirmation and validation sometimes, you know, come quicker than it will, than it would internally. And you have to ask yourself, I don't know what it is. Is it that we have a level of, you know, very, you know, subconscious, there is a level of self-hate, perhaps? I don't know what it is.
I don't know, because in my early days, I'll be honest with you, the University of Trinidad and Tobago was 100% behind me. 100% took me to Trinidad, Tobago. I did a whole year of modules through FIDO, going to Belgium, going to Grenada. I mean, my knowledge of cocoa and chocolate is very extensive, but my country doesn't really tap into it. So last year, ITC, which is International Trade, approached me to go to the show in Paris.
That's mega.
And I am not joking. That show really captivated me because Paris is like chocolate town. It's romantic. It's
small and
everywhere you look at the chocolate. You know, people love chocolate. They don't come into this store and say, boy, how much for that? And oh, Lord, it's expensive. They don't.
Yeah.
They know chocolate. They love chocolate. And that inspired me to continue because, can I be truthful?
Yes, this is what we're about. Right.
So I went to Paris for 9 days. And the 9 days that I was in Paris, I had no electricity at my store. And although I had people here on the ground working for me and trying, it didn't work. So what I had to do in Paris was I had to become like a man. You know how the man keep a box here, a box there, a box there, or left it a bit.
Compartmentalized.
So I compartmentalized Jamaica and what was happening here. Although my staff was excellent. They kept the fire burning at my friend's house. Yeah, he took them there. And I had two really good angels who took all my stuff out my freezer to took it to their home, and I came back, and I thought to myself, had a meeting with my staff, and they asked me to try again. And I was so motivated from Paris, so motivated. That was just the most motivating time of my life. I never thought I'd ever be in Paris, much less exposed to top chocolatiers and watch them work. That whole dream of chocolate became a reality again. So, in that night, when I came back and I was so confused and trying to figure, okay, let's see where we can go from here, Hotel 1 approached me. Hotel 2 was hovering in the background. So I was kind of like, okay, we can do this. And there was a conference here by the UN Women of the Caribbean. So they wrote me and said, can they come and visit the factory? And I was like, oh, huge factory. Huge factory, that's huge. They said, okay, sure, come. Anyway, when I went to the first day of the conference, and I saw all these women from Africa, from the Caribbean, and whatever, and I was like, then what are you going to do? Anyway, my staff stepped up to the plate again, and we prepared. It was a Thursday, the Wednesday, I think it came to see me. 44 women in a 429-square-foot factory. So what we did was we borrowed outside from the cafe, and we had everybody out there, and we sent everybody in fours. But while everybody was going in, I told my story, because they wanted me to get an answer. And I cried, they cried harder. They embraced me in a way that made me know that I'm not alone. They were absolute, first of all 44 bought in the store, but they could identify with what I said and how I felt, and that motivated me to try again. So I went to the final night, and they awarded everybody that did a pitch for second and third prize. And I was there. Well, they had told me earlier in the day, make sure you're there, and I was there. And then they said, and they had a special prize for me, and it was a trip to Dubai. They're taking me to Dubai, and I'm heading there on Monday. To a women's leadership conference.
Wow.
With 250, over 250 women from all over the world. A lot of the African states.
Yes.
And the agenda is speakers, and, you know, I have my elevator speech plan because I'm going to get exposed to people. And I think it's going to be fantastic. And in between all of that, the last 2 weeks I've had so many requests for quotations. From not from small, like from my hotels again. And so I have a dream again.
You're dreaming again.
You know, and I COVID really, really did a number on me. It's like having a lot of hotels one day, and then just the next day you're like, there's nothing. So we had to do a lot of pivoting. And so in our pivoting, we have created more lines of product. And that's what I said.
Wow, you know, listening to the story, and I'm so inspired just listening to it. And I can relate to how traveling can really, you know, spend that light bulb moment into your head again. I remember going to Paris as well on a study tour. We're on a study tour in Europe. We were in Berlin and Paris and Manchester. And that for me again was eye-opening. And just to see how they embraced Jamaicans. I mean, I was there with a lot of other Caribbean nationals, right, for the creative industries. And the fact that I
day that I was bringing it, and then, you know, her just keeping it, just, I stole it for that, pretty much. So we know how it is, you know, when you traveled, and particularly when you are Jamaican. But I listen to you, and coming out of that, what you just heard, is a lot of things. One of them is that fixatedness, right? I recall you and I were in a competition together many years ago, the nationwide, I think it was the Entrepreneur Challenge. Many years ago, and we've been on, you know, different programs and stuff. And just to see, like, listening to you talk, I can hear the definition of entrepreneurship, the struggles. We see the glory, we see the sweetness of the chocolate, a lot of people, but they don't understand truly what goes on behind the scenes. And I want to get from you what it is, Michelle, outside of the travel to Paris, so that you're uniting you again and so on, and the support that you've been getting from, you know, the visits and stuff. What is it really that drives you to continue doing chocolate dreams?
You know, I think about it all the time. It's something that I really think about on a daily basis, because remember that even though my dream is there, the struggles are still there. You have to always be constantly weighing, you know, how do I continue? And to be honest with you, I would think that I now recognize that life is not perfect. And I think that a lot of us grow up thinking that life is just kind of fairy tale land. And I think I've come to realize that it's not. I think about whether I should go back to work, go back to work with somebody else. And I don't really want to. This is what I enjoy. This is what I love. But what really, really drives me right now is that my store, my presence on social media, me, people who get things from me, are so happy. And in Jamaica, people are not happy all the time. So while COVID was affecting people and making them really sad at loss and heartbroken, they knew that they could come to Chocolate Dreams and have one happy moment. So my whole vision of Chocolate Dreams is changing, because I know my company makes people happy. And I don't know a lot of companies that can really say that. Very few. Supermarket can't tell you that. They make you happy, but you're going there and you spend money and you're rich. People come to me and they get what they need to make them be comforted, loved, and happy. And that's what I love. I see when my customers are not happy. They must be happy. And if they're not happy, I make them happy. You know, there's not every customer is going to leave there happy. That, let's face it, that is, entrepreneurs have to understand that everybody's not going to be happy with you. And there are people out there that, and I like to think of Marcia Winter when I think of those two, that, you remember, they're A, B, C, D, and F customers. And, you know, you definitely have to look for the super plus A customers. And all my customers are super plus A, all of them. If I disappoint somebody, I'm willing to make good on it, always.
We're speaking with Michelle Smith, CEO and founder of Chocolate Dreams. We care more after we take a look at what's trending.
Hey, did you see the movie Megan? A realistic robot child who was created as a play companion for a young girl? Well, similar technology might be closer than we think to change life as we know it. With the recent growth spurt of AI, humanoid developers have gotten another big piece of the puzzle to perfect the machine with the possibilities of their new robotic race close to being a reality. These humanoids are professional service robots trained to be empathetic with personality, mood, and emotions. As the name suggests, they look and often feel like humans. The most recent humanoid, Amica, was built using GPT-3 and 4, one of the most powerful AI models. It's able to have conversations and displays a multitude of human-like expressions. So, do you think it's a threat? Well, how far will this trend go?
That was what's trending in business. In studio with us is Jamaican chocolate chair, Michelle Smith. Of course, before the break, Michelle, you spoke about the woman who came and, you know, the little factory and all of that. Talk to me about the importance of women supporting women in business and how has that support been for you?
Women and business, women supporting women. I'm a big supporter of women, big. Even as COVID struck, I tried my best to carry women stuff in my store and help them, help the smaller ones who needed help to, you know, earn and continue earning. But I have to say, it's one of, I don't think there are a lot of us. I mean, I know a lot because I keep my circle really tight, and I really keep my circle of women friends really tight, and Rita Hilton and I are very, very good friends. Rita is a big supporter.
We had her on too, which is a
secret. She is a woman that is so phenomenal. It's unbelievable. Also, I have another very, very dear friend, Nancy Hado, who owns Samaria. And not once during COVID did she not order for her store from me. She made it a point of duty to do that for me. And I think women have been given such a big task. Women are, we struggle every day in getting funding for business. Every single day, we still struggle. We never not struggle. But we are the workers. We're the ones that still we struggle. I've had banks tell me that I can't get a loan from them unless my other half signs the document in the 21st century. Yeah, I've had that happen to me.
Say what now?
Yeah, I had to sign that document. Yep. I've had that happen to me. I've had banks tell me that I should take my proposal and go back and come back and address. Yeah. We women struggle every single day. So I make it my business to support women. So I signed on to WEX.
And WEX is?
WEX is Women Empowerment Principles. And I signed on for that. So Imani Duncan Price is the representative here. I forget who was there before her because it was the lady before her who approached me to sign on the chocolate team. And I was happy to do it because I also hire a lot of women. A lot of women have passed through chocolate things. We don't have any. We have, right now, currently, we have one man. It's one man and eight women. One man against the world. And trust me, he is doing a good job.
He is. The thorn amongst the many roses, huh?
But women, the thing about women is that women don't realize how powerful they are. That's what I recognize. But because in chocolate, you don't have a lot of skilled workers. I decided I'm good friends with Marcia Cummins from UTEP. Mm-hmm. And so her interns come to me. So I have lots of female interns that are in and out of chocolate beans. They come and do their 400 hours with us. Lots of people don't know that, but they do. And I like to say, and I like to say to her all the time, that those women that pass through the halls of chocolate dreams represent the society, because not all of them are 100%. But I still welcome them into my door. You know, they get an experience, 400 hours of experience in chocolate dreams. I think a lot of them leave there and probably not go into their own business because they get this the first time.
Harsh reality, right?
It's harsh. Mm-hmm. We're talking about real harsh. I have cried so much in the last 18 years. I've cried many tears. It's been hard. I have been on my knees in the office. You know, I've had people threaten me. I've had people be mean to me. But yet still, I still see the good in people, and I still support women. I support them 100%. All women within this. I support every single one of them because I think it's a lonely road for us.
Mm-hmm. You spoke about women and, you know, power, what they're here for. What would it mean? What would it look like for women to walk in their power?
We need to step up to the plate. We do. Men have lodge. we don't. Men came together. That's what they have over us. And because they don't really have emotions, or they have emotions, but they don't
show
them. We do. And that's probably what we need to do. We need to use our emotions to step into our power. Because we do have the power. We do. We are strong. We're a nation of women raising their children by themselves, sending them to school, making them into pilots, doctors, lawyers. Our women are worthy, and they can do it. But I think that a lot of women are afraid to step into their power. They're afraid. I don't know what they're afraid of. I can't. You see, because I'm very forceful, and I really don't. I don't. I'm not. No, it's not that I don't care, but I speak my truth. I'll tell you exactly what I feel, but a lot of women won't.
They're in fear.
They're afraid. What are they afraid of, Jennifer?
I know. I define fear as tiny particles, or quite rather, as tiny particles of fear that have been outmaneuvered by the will to do what is right. Fear for you, when you think about that emotion, because we all face it, I believe, but some of us don't allow it to pick us. When you think about fear, what comes to mind for you? What resolve do you have?
There.
Or, you know, when because if you're faced, for example, with a situation where it would cause you to be fearful, how do you approach that situation? What resolve do you have in mind that, listen, from hell or high water, and will do what is necessary to move forward?
It's fair every day. Mm-hmm. It's a fair of every single day. I have to resolve to myself every single morning that I can do this.
Yes.
That I can do it. And you know what is the biggest lesson that I think I've learned? Don't look behind.
No.
People like to look behind. They like to live in the past. Me, 3 years ago, is not me today.
Oh, can I get a high five right now?
Yes. I have evolved. I am not the person back there. I make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you to throw my mistakes at me. My mistakes stay behind me. Any mistakes I've made,
hello.
Any mistakes I've made, I honor them, but I leave them behind me. Okay? I make good on what I need to make good on, and I leave them behind me. I don't need anybody to remind me about them. That I've made, but they're mine.
And on that note, we take a look at our JTS spot.
it's now time for our Spark powered by JPS.
We can't be sure of what tomorrow will look like, but when we put in the work, we can shape it. We can light the way and build our own path to make tomorrow even brighter. Because one thing's for certain, tomorrow will come. That's why we're investing in world-class technology, building new plants, and upgrading our systems. We know that the best hope for our children and their children is the work we do now to create the innovative, cutting-edge, clean Jamaica of the future. A Jamaica that works for Jamaicans. A Jamaica powered by hope. Today, tomorrow, forever.
Get smart strips. Check out those appliances that still have a light on even when they are turned off. It means they are still using electricity. Plug these appliances into smart power strips and save money. Smart power strips cut off phantom power when any device is off. And yes, helps you to conserve energy.
That was our Spark powered by JPS.
Welcome back to the Entrepreneur You. With us is Michelle Smith, founder and CEO of the Swiss company, Socket Dreams.
That's so good.
Awesome. So let's talk about 18 years since you've been in business, and you've learned a lot, you've seen a lot, you've had highs and lows and everything in between. First, I'd love to hear some of those high points. You know what, let's start with the low points and end with the high points. Let's hear some of the low points.
The low points are that the business has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. It's obviously it's viable, but it's just about the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I look at.
That's fantastic.
And I think that is absolutely, you know, brilliant. So that's some of the low points, meaning, you know, the company is struggling to get to the next level. And has been for a while, and it's a shame that we're not there yet. But then, you know, Hanika, I'm a big believer in God, so I know it's in His time, right? So, in my company, there's equipment that could take us to the next level. So there's pieces of equipment. Now, we are specialized machinery. We're not running the mill every day. You know, the temporary machines are not a piece of equipment that's like a TV that they can dispose of easily. So for me and my business, that's part of the low point. It's hard to finance capital equipment and get people to sign on to the training. That's some of the low points.
Mm-hmm. And the high points.
The high points are, so as I look back on the wall at Chocolate Dreams, there are so many plaques. You know, I remember the first MCB Strength Award. Mm-hmm. I received that. That was a high point for me. A high point was also receiving the award in Trinidad for creativity and entrepreneurship. I got an award for that one in the cocoa and chocolate field. So those are my high points. Other high points are just getting back into business, getting back to the business of normal after COVID is a very high point for me. Having the hotels call me back and say, we're ready for you again, that's a high point for me. It means that what I was doing for them before, they're trusting me to come back again. And how cool is that? Because that's 3 years ago, you know, when you think about it, you know,
yeah.
They didn't forget that Chocolate Dreams was the provider. How, and the high point, having somebody go into a hotel and see that chocolate on their pillow and know that it came from my business.
That's something to celebrate, and I celebrate that with you. Somebody's watching, a young entrepreneur, somebody who perhaps not even entered entrepreneurship yet, but just thinking about it. How would you advise them in terms of they want to start a manufacturing business, perhaps even chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
How would you advise that person right now?
Start small. Know your business. Mm-hmm. Know chocolate. If it's chocolate. Whatever it is, know it. In other words, watch trends. Keep updated on trends. It's so easy. When I first started chocolate dreams, you know, I did not have a clue where to buy chocolate, who to buy from, where the packaging came from, how to, why to measure. I had no
clue. So you're saying that you had no experience in any of that?
No, none.
Okay.
And I took a trip up to where my children were in school at Boston. And I drove to Maine, and I drove to the factory that produced the chocolate that I wanted to use, and had a tour of the factory. I went to mom and pop businesses who opened their doors. They let me in. They let me in the back. They let me see what they did, and I was like, that was a big dream. So go know your stuff. Get to know what's out there. The packaging, and I'll give you this very quick story. I went online. Hundreds of packaging companies. I picked one. And I have built a relationship with them for 18 years. I called on Friday last week and said, "Does Leanne, Leo still work there?" "Yes, they still." They put me on to her. She knew who I was, and I knew what she was. She's who I bought from. I bought packaging from them for 18 years, and I don't know them. I've never met them face to face. It's been online. So entrepreneurs, get out there and get online. You don't have to do a thing. It's so easy now. Before, a long time ago in Nevada, we had to go in an encyclopedia. We had to phone.
I wonder if you know what an encyclopedia is, by the way.
Information is there for the taking. Go check it out. Walk through a store, like what you would like, or a business that you would like. Call them and say, "Can I come see what you do?" But always, always, entrepreneurs, remember, make sure you have support. Family support. Your family. Somebody who can give you a square meal when you don't have any. Pay for you to do your hair when you can't. Or your meals, or your whatever. Some have support. I have to say that over the last 18 years, I have had tremendous support from my family.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. Even ones who are no longer here. Always supporting, always proud, always giving, you know. And for me, that means a lot. Success to me is not money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Success to me is what you leave behind, the legacy.
Yes.
And that's important to me. I have a little granddaughter who is 9, and out of everybody, I feel like she's probably going to take over chocolate. She's so into it. She's so interested, you know, she's so always interested in what I'm doing. And so your legacy is what you have.
Yes.
That's your success.
Absolutely. And I'd love to talk a little more about legacy, but before I do that, there is something you mentioned earlier about carbon export.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, I mean, I've been a beneficiary myself, you know, different funding projects I've had is funded, and very good organization. And I think sometimes it can be like a best kept secret.
Okay.
Right. So how would you encourage someone who is looking for something? I know you spoke to the banks and, you know, the things that they want you to do to get money.
We'll look at alternative sources of funding. So speak to grant funding.
I really haven't had a lot of grant funding money, but in learning, so I encourage people to learn. So go and see what a lot of my research was through the internet. That's how I found out of things, but then I became a member of the DNA. And being in the DNA, it was DNA before. So I was there before the, I was there and then just a little of the journey. Join something like that or JBDC is a good
to make a business development
corporation, or private sector organization of Jamaica, depending on how you're, you know, you can afford the membership. Call entrepreneurs that you know. Call them, ask them, tap into their brains about funding. I mean, grant funding is always, it seems like a secret.
It is. It does take a lot of time, but if you want to, you know, if you're able to invest that time and get the person, you don't have to do it yourself. You can actually
employ monumental to people, you know. Yeah. I always thought that all this paper.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs don't love paper, you know.
We just want to create,
We just want to create. And that's what happens to creative people.
We
need somebody to go back there and do that legwork for us. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happens to us sometimes. We don't know about things, and we hear too. I don't read the paper a lot, you know. And sometimes it's right there in our own newspapers. You know, events that happen, you can go and I'm a big event person. So when I started out in soccer games, that's one of the things too, that's my secret. I did alliances, and that's how I grew Chocolate Dreams with alliances. So it was first with Cancer Society, which they had a function every year, and Chocolate Dreams would be there every year. Heart Foundation of Jamaica, every year, and I would be there every year because I also believe, I'm a great believer in giving back. I just absolutely think it's essential, especially in things that affect all of us, your heart, cancer, all those things. And I think when you, as an entrepreneur coming up, get involved in your community. It's the best way to give back and to help the business to get out there.
I would say I want to touch on the legacy a bit. So let's talk about the future of Chocolate Dreams and what you want your legacy to be.
I hope somebody will come along and say, can I buy you? I mean, Mr. Streetfire won't want to hear this.
Because he wants you to live.
He wants you to live forever.
I know she wanted to talk about her to live too, and she's a bit disappointed in me.
Yeah, but you know what? To tell you the truth, I really would just love for somebody to invest in Chocolate Dreams so it can get to the level that I'll be proud of my legacy. I don't have to hold on to anything. I just want to hold on to what I built and see it come to that get married stage, that bride stage. That's what I want for Chocolate Dreams. So if someone can come along and take it to that level, I'm just happy. Really, really happy. Because my kids want one is a doctor, one is a teacher. And you have to be realistic in a mental in legacy. You can't force people to love what you love and be passionate about your passion.
And listen, I had to learn.
And so I think that they must find their needs and find their sweet spot.
No pun intended?
No pun intended. And if it's not Chocolate Dreams, it's okay because they support me. But it's just that's not their trail. Right? All of us have it. We have a different children, all of us.
Absolutely. Michelle, you are phenomenal. We're not done yet, but building legacies and investing in the future is paramount for a successful society. We take a look at our social spotlight from the Jamaica Social Investment Fund.
The Integrated Community Development Project in its second phase, ICDP 2, which is funded by the Government of Jamaica and implemented by the Jamaica Social Investment Fund, has as one of its components the Enterprise Development Grant Program. Under this program, hundreds of entrepreneurs have already been helped in a myriad of ways to boost their micro and small businesses.
Jamaica Social Investment Fund, JASIF, celebrating over 20 years of investment in community development. JASIF has forged relationships with international funding partners, as well as private and public sector entities. Let us continue to invest to reduce vulnerabilities. Let us build our social capital and resilient infrastructures to ensure full participation in Vision 2030. JASIF, investing for community development.
That was our social spotlight, courtesy of JASIF.
This has been a wonderful journey, learning about the sweet and the bitter sides of the chocolate dream. Thank you so much, Michelle, for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Hannah. It was my great pleasure to be here. Really, I really had a good time, and I really hope entrepreneurs will benefit from what I said.
Yes, I have.
And I'm here. I'm not Winnie the Pooh. I have to reach back and pull you up. I'm willing.
Believe me, I'm coming to you.
Oh,
as we close today's show, here's what I want to think on. When you have a goal, you need a deadline. Because guess what? A goal without a deadline is just a wish. Just wishful thinking. But put timelines in place to accomplish those goals that you've set for yourself. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for failure. Why would you want to do that? Well, I am Hennika Watkins-Porter. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Always remember, never forget, the next entrepreneur you could be you.
A big thank you to all our sponsors, JPS, JASIF, Bluesic Media, Hope Royal Botanic Garden, celebrating 150 years of beautifying Jamaica, Scotia Bank, Madison Chai, Max's Department Stores, and Sweetness and Things.